Thank you once again for tuning in to Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, the Bible's own way. We still have been having some difficulties with our audio cutting in and out. So this first lesson has been choppy, and this is like the third time we've done lesson two. So I put a little different setup, and I hope this comes in okay. A couple announcements that we need to announce that... thank you for your support, the ones who's donating through our website. Many of you asked how you help support the ministry. You can go to our website at dispensationalbiblechurch.org, and there's a donate button down there, or you can mail us at 592, P.O. Box 592, Cambridge, Ohio 43725, or, you know, just come by and see us. Our church is here in Cambridge, Ohio, and we'd love to see you. Also, thank you for tuning in on Facebook Live and YouTube and all. And some announcements that I'd like to make in regards to a thing called Boxcast. I'm thinking it over. A couple of our brothers are using it, and it would enable us to broadcast this message on Apple TV, Roku TV, Fox TV, sorry, Amazon, and Facebook Live and YouTube all at the same time. Can you imagine us having our own TV station? That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? But anyway, for this message, not for me, but for the message. So keep that in thought and prayer. It is a cost of that each month, but... we would trust that it would go on and go without glitches, and I'm hoping this is coming in clear right now. Keep our website in thought and prayer, keep our track ministries, and keep you in thought and prayer also as we lift you up in prayer requests and praise items. And so just keep that in thought and prayer. Let's go in prayer with the Lord. Father, once again, thank you for the day. Thank you for things you've given us. As we think about the many things that we could do to proclaim the gospel, the grace of God, and get it out amongst the people that needs to hear this message. Lord, we live in a great time that we can simply proclaim the good news. And Father, give us liberty to do that and the ears that we can hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Also, one other thing. Many of you has been posting things about winter and how this one politician has mentioned going into dark winter. On our web page or on our YouTube page, Dispensation Bible Church, I uploaded five lessons that Brother Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of Bible, has put out there for, he did a series when we was at the Soldiers Training Service in April years ago, and it's about the winter time. Spring, summer, fall, winter. And we're going in, and we have been in winter in the political realm and the stages of America right now. So it would be, and I would encourage you to go there and listen to those lessons and follow along and consider that. And it may help you understand that where we're at in this age of man, if you will. We just finished the book of Daniel. And we understand we're in the times of the Gentiles, and nothing could really be going right in the times of Gentile other than proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. So keep that in thought and prayer. We're in lesson two. In the last lesson, in fact, we're using the book Through the Bible in 7 hours by Brother Richard, and we're going to take longer than 7 hours, guys. We're going to take our time. It's going to build us on some building blocks. So when we do the fundamentals of dispensationalism, you'll see how easy it is to understand God's Word. So as we work through these lessons, the first one we talked about the tools. And the first key is the student getting saved, okay, and having the Holy Spirit to teach us. The first thing you need to do is understand that you're a sinner and you need to be saved. And you trust Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again. That saves you. And then the Holy Spirit will teach you. He's your teacher. God spoke this book. the book comes off the page, and the words come off the page, illuminate into your soul of the believer. Second thing we looked at is the scriptures, having the word of God without error in our language. Okay? We have in our language today an authorized version, commonly known as the King James Bible, for the English-speaking people. And it's truth from cover to cover. And we don't have to go out there and find any other versions. We don't have to go out there and create our own Bibles. We have the infallible word. And so we don't want to corrupt that word either, do we? We don't want to take things out of the Bible and corrupt it like Satan did and all. So, and I always say this too. You can find any version of the Bible that you want to back up anything you want to believe. There's thousands of Bibles out there. But this Bible right here is authority, okay? And you can have it too. And we don't want to corrupt that. So this lesson here is about the mechanics. The third key is the study. Now, study implies work. Yes, we have to work to study. If you remember back in the day, and you probably got little ones come home, they've been to school for 8 hours, and they're carrying a bunch of books, and the last thing they want to do is sit there and study. They want to go out and play. They want to go out there and amuse their mind outside of studying. But you know what you have to do. You have to sit there and say, study this, study this, study it. You got to test. You got to study. You got to study. We can gain some knowledge from simply reading, okay? But to really understand the word of the Lord, he has given us a way to require us to study. So we have to study the word of God. And like I said before, it's work, and we'll see that shortly. There's three golden questions that we should ask each other or ask when you do think about studying. And when we read the Bible, the first three things that we should try to identify are, who is speaking? Okay? Who is speaking when you read it? Go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. It says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Who is speaking here is Jesus Christ, and he's using the words of God to speak. So Jesus Christ is speaking the word of God. So who is that? God, okay? Go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now who is speaking here? The serpent said. So that's Satan's talking there. Something to think about, isn't it? And Eve was deceived, and Adam made a choice, and we might touch on that in a little while. Go to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verse 13. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. Now who is speaking here? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle. That's Paul speaking. So you really have to understand who is speaking when you read these scriptures. Okay? Because it means something to you. Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry was talking to the nation Israel, and we'll see that in a little bit. The serpent was in the garden. He was talking to Adam and Eve. Paul, in the dispensation of grace, he's talking to the body of Christ. Okay? Saved people. So, that's today. The next thing you look at is to whom are the words written or spoken, or what group of people is being addressed. So go to 2 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, And you probably hear this verse repeated over and over, over and over, over and over, over and over. But who is, to whom are the words written or spoken to, okay? And who's the people being addressed here? Chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Who is my people here? Israel. Okay? Remember when we studied the book of Daniel, my people, 70 weeks are determined upon my people. My people is Israel to God. Okay? You're not Israel today. Don't let anybody make you out to be Israel. Okay? You can't spiritualize. With spiritual eyes, you'll tell spiritual lies. So he's talking to Israel there. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. What group of people is being addressed here? Okay. What's being spoken? Us. Who's us? That's the body of Christ. That's what God is doing today. God is forming a body, not a nation. He's forming a body. So that's being taught, spoken to us. And by the way, it said, hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Hath is a done deal. Jesus Christ has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We have them all already. Isn't that awesome? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 31 says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do it all for the glory of God. Who's he speaking to? He's speaking to all of us. Do it for the glory of God. Very, very important there. Next thing you look at is, when were the words spoken or written? Who is speaking? To whom are the words written? And now, when were the words written? Go to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. What do you know about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is the earthly ministry of Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This tells you his earthly ministry of Jesus Christ when he's on this earth. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 6. Luke 9, verse 6. Luke chapter 9, verse 6. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. So when he called the 12, they went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Got that? Now look at verse 44. Same chapter, verse 44. So Jesus Christ is going to foretell his death. Let these sayings sink down in between your ears. For the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of man. But they understood, should underline this, they understood not these sayings, and it was hid from them, that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. Now that's the same thing. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Verse 31 through 34. They're asking him. Verse 31 says, and he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, behold, we shall go up to Jerusalem, and all things that were written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spat upon. And they shall scorn him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things, and these sayings were hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. Okay? When was these words spoken? Back over here. Okay, got that. Go to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, he names the 12, and he tells them, verse 5, he says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritan enter ye not. Now, wait a minute here. He's telling the 12 not to go into what? The way of the Gentiles. And in the city of Samaria enter ye not. He tell them not to go there. But I thought he said over here. Who was he talking to over here? Said they went to preach the gospel. You better know who were he spoke. When were these words spoken? Verse 6. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The lost sheep of the house of Israel. House of Israel was lost. They was sheep. They needed a shepherd. You're not sheep today, but they was lost. And he said, verse 7, and as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Lord Jesus Christ told the 12 to go preach, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Lord Jesus Christ taught and preached, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He taught the same thing John the Baptist taught, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The coffee back there is at hand. It's not offered till you go back there and pour it, or I pour it for you. That's when it's offered. So the kingdom is at hand. It's ready for the taking. It's up to them to do what God told them to do. It's not offered to Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5 over here. Okay? The kingdom is postponed in a dispensation of grace, but it'll be fulfilled over here in ages to come. Well, we'll get through all this, you know, not today, not in 7 hours, maybe in a year in 7 hours, but bear with me. Go to Matthew 15. Matthew 15. Matthew 15, verse 21. Lord Jesus Christ departs into the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and they behold a woman of Canaan. Came unto him the coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievous, vexed with a devil. So here is the Lord Jesus Christ up here. There's a woman, a Canaanite woman down here. She goes up to the Lord Jesus Christ. And she said, have mercy on me. So she goes to the Lord, called him the son of David. She knew who he was. Look at verse 23. But he answered her not a word. Why? Why? When was these words spoken or written? It's not back over here. The Gentiles had to come. Well, we'll get to that in a minute. But he did not answer that woman a word. Keep reading. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cried after us. So she went to the Lord. He didn't answer. So she went to the 12. And they went to him saying, send her away. She cries after us. Verse 24. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He still hasn't answered her yet. He's talking to the 12. In fact, Romans 15:8 talks about he was made a minister to the circumcision. Who was the circumcision? Israel. Everybody else was uncircumcised. Verse 25. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. She's not giving up, is she? Verse 26. But he answered and said, he finally answers her. Here's what he said. It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. He called that Gentile woman a dog. They've been called dogs ever since away over here. They're name calling all over throughout the Bible. But he answered her and said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. You know, and when you're riding an airplane, we use this analogy all the time. You're sitting in an airplane and the woman or man now shows you about exiting and how to use seat belts. And there's always a couple people over here yakking, not paying attention, and they'll be the first one to cry about it if something happens. Sometimes I feel like just take my shoe off and say, hey, stop that. But you got to be focused. It's her job to do that, but sometimes it's still. And, you know, they'd say when the oxygen falls down, what do they tell you to do? Take that mask and put it on the next guy to you, right? No. Put it on yourself. So you will be able to breathe and be able to move and be able to help somebody. That's the same analogy here. He has to feed Israel before they can feed anybody else. And they haven't been fed yet. They're lost. But see what she said, verse 27. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. She knew her place in that program in times past. She knew by getting under Israel's blessing, okay, she's going to be fed. And here's what the Lord said. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole that very hour. That's the God I serve. He made her whole that very hour. Go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under what? Grace. That is written right here. When was it written? Right here. Apostle Paul wrote that. You're not under law, but you're under grace. You got that? So, but people will put you under law to keep you confined, to keep a thumb on you. Listen, a lost man needs that law. A lost man needs to come to understanding that he's lost and needs a savior. That's what that law did. It pointed to you as a schoolmaster that you need to be saved. Once you're saved, you don't stay under law, you go under grace. So Miles Cloverdale, around the 1500s AD, a few years back, some of you are not that old yet, or young, I should say. But listen, he said this. It shall greatly help ye to understand the scriptures if thou mark not only what is spoken or written, but of whom and to whom, with what words, at what time, where, to what intent, with what circumstances, considering what goeth before and what followeth after. That's exactly the same thing we've been saying about who is speaking. To whom are the words written to? And when were the words spoken? It's very, very important to understand that mechanics, okay? And that study how to do that. Now, within this, there's three guiding principles. And with above answers in our hand, we already know, we already searched, and to exactly what the writers and speakers are talking about. And there are three common sense principles to remember. There's the literal principle. And listen to this. When the normal sense makes sense, seek no other sense. Makes sense? It does, doesn't it? So go to Nehemiah. Let's look at this. Go to Nehemiah chapter 8. Where's Nehemiah? Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctively and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. It makes sense, doesn't it? They read it and it gave them sense, and it caused them to understand the reading. Go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 30. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Now, let me ask you something. Is he going to give the throne of David, the father, give it to the son? Yes. Is that a literal, physical throne and kingdom? Yes. You don't spiritualize this, okay? It is a throne, and he's going to sit on the throne of David for 1,000 years over here. And I believe after that he gets up and David will sit over there when David's resurrected, just like everybody else is going to be resurrected in time to pass that believe the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. When the normal sense makes sense, seek no other sense. Matthew 16, verse 18. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now this is a kingdom church that's being built, and it's really not being built upon Peter like a religious group is saying out there. They make Peter out to be the first pope. You know, there's really no evidence that Peter, this Peter, ever been to Rome. Think about that. Paul was in Rome. I'm not saying he built the church on Paul, but think about that just a little bit. But look, and the gates of hell shall prevail against it. Are the gates in hell? Who holds the keys? Jesus Christ does, okay? So there is gates in hell. And that's one place you don't want to end up in hell. Okay? John chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John, talking about John the Baptist over here. John, seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. Now did John look down the road and see Jesus Christ coming as a four-legged lamb? The answer is no. He's a two-legged man. But that lamb, he's the sacrifice that taketh away the sins of the world. So you got to make sense out of this stuff, okay? So is it what normal sense, you know he's not a four-legged lamb. So you got to compare scriptures to scriptures here. So that's what we're going to look at next, of a comparative principle. Scriptures are best interpreted by scriptures themselves. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of scriptures is of any private interpretation. So you can't privately interpret these scriptures. None of it is. But look, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man wisdom teaches. Listen, there's no man's wisdom's going to teach you what the Word of God is, okay? There's not an institute out there that's going to teach you what God's going to teach you through His Holy Spirit and Scriptures. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That's your professors out there. But which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You have to compare Scriptures with Scriptures. And the context of this, a text without a context is a pretext. That's why you have to understand the context of the verses here. You just don't pick a verse out, the text, without the context. You don't look at some words in there and change the meanings of the words without understanding the context. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, verse 13. Let's just take it out of context here. Look. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. You hear that all the time, don't you? But you know what the context of this is? The context is the little flock enduring over here in this tribulation period. You better make sense and stay with the context when you do this. Go to Exodus chapter 35. Exodus chapter 35. Exodus chapter 35. Exodus chapter 35, verse 1. And Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said unto them, these are the words which the Lord hath commanded that ye shall do them. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day that shall be to you an holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whosoever doeth work therein shall be put to death. Ye shall kindle no fire throughout your inhabitation upon the Sabbath day. So if you're trying to keep the Sabbath day from Friday night at 6 o'clock to Saturday evening at 6 o'clock, and if you do any work, guess what you're worthy of? Death. So you better stay within the context here. You don't pull stuff out. Go to Daniel chapter 7. Now, we studied the whole book of Daniel, and it took us a little while to do it, so I'm not going to redo it. If you want to go listen to the teachings, it's on our webpage. But Daniel chapter 7, Daniel has a vision. Let me turn there. Daniel has a vision. He sees four beasts there. One of them is a lion. The other one is like a bear, and the other one's like a leopard, and let's see, what was the other one? Beast, leopard. The fourth beast was dreadful and terrible and strong, and had iron, teeth like iron and stuff like that. But look, he had 10 horns. But look, he saw a beast. But is he talking about a beast? What is he talking about? Go to verse 17. These great beasts, which are four, are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. So if you didn't stay in the context of this, how would you know those four beasts are four kings? They're literal kings over here. It's going to pop up over here. So you got to think about that. A text without a context is a pretext. A remoter text, context, if you will, is when the passage that you're studying is found elsewhere in the Bible. Like Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. What do you mean by Acts chapter 1 verse 8? Remember Acts chapter 1, the Lord Jesus Christ has already been died and buried and rose again. And he comes back to him over here. And the first question that pops up in the book of Acts is this in verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He don't say anything about the body of Christ to Israel. Verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses upon me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and into other parts of the earth. Now, what are they supposed to do? when the Holy Ghost came upon them in Acts chapter 2 here, they're supposed to be witnesses to both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and in the other parts of the world, other parts of the earth. Now remember over here, he told them, do not go in the way of the Gentiles. I'm getting tongue-tied here a little bit. So, what about Matthew chapter 10? I think we just looked at that a little while ago. Matter of speaking. Matthew chapter 10, verse 23. But when they persecute you in these cities, flee ye unto another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. They're not going to go over the city of Israel until the Son of Man comes over here. And Psalms chapter 2, verse 8 talks about he's given the cities and the Gentiles as an inhabitants to Israel. So you have to look at passages to compare passages. Now, the other part of this study is a dispensational principle. Okay? That's what I am. I'm a dispensationalist. Okay? Everybody is a dispensationalist to one degree or the other. You don't go to the, when you read the newspaper, you don't go to the funny pages to read about politics, or do you? Probably could. Sports sections for obituaries. No. You rightly divide a newspaper. When you open up your drawers, you put your forks, your knives, your forks, your little forks, big forks, big spoons, so forth. So they have slots. You're dispensing the places where it's supposed to be. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2 is a very key verse, in which is one of our verses in our motto, where we study the whole Bible, the Bible's own way, and the Bible has a way to study it, and it's found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Now, let me remind you a little bit. We're going to get into this really, really deep in the fundamentals of dispensationalism. Okay? So, this is just like an icebreaker through the Bible. And we're going to hit on some high points, and then when we get to the fundamentals of dispensation, we're really going to break a lot of things down. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What did we say about study before? Study to show thyself approved. That's why you want to study. But you divide truth from truth, cover to cover. The whole Bible's truth, every bit of it. If you don't rightly divide the truth, you assume a lot of that stuff we was going over there about the Sabbath day, and we're going to see some other things that you're going to compare here in a little bit, that you're going to say, well, isn't that to me? God said it to me. No, you've got to be very, very careful. All the Bible's for us, but not all is to you. There's things written to Israel that don't apply to you and I today. The things written to the body of Christ don't apply what Israel was doing over there, but they apply to Jew and Gentile today. And what he's doing today don't apply over here in ages to come. Let's look at this for a minute. A dispensation is a particular program that God administers or dispense to. Okay? Administration. By the way, the word dispensation is found four times in the King James Bible. You won't find it in those other versions. So they take those words and they change it, okay? And you won't get the word dispensation in there. A dispensing, what God is doing. God never changes, does he? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? You'll get people when you start studying the word dispensationally and right and dividing the word of truth, you're going to get people saying this stuff to you, and you know that God never changes. But what has changed? Let's look at some things here. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 29. Now, Adam and Eve's in the garden, and he told them, replenish and multiply the earth. Okay? And he says right here in verse 29, chapter 1, 29, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, and ye shall it to you, excuse me, to you, it shall be for meat. God told Adam and Eve, that tree out there bearing fruit, and it's for meat. So basically, they was a vegetarian. Okay, he didn't get to sink his teeth into some steak, pork chops, lamb chops, that type of thing. It was basically vegetarian food. Go to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. This is Noah. Okay, the world became corrupt. Animals started eating animals. The whole world became corrupt. You wonder what happened to your dinosaurs per se, okay? Then the flood came. There's 8 souls saved on that ark. And they stepped off that ark, and God told him and the son, so he blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Verse 3. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. You remember when he brought the animals together? When the ark landed, the animals scattered, got fear. And you ever go in deer hunting? You ever see this time of year is deer hunting? And people's out there, and them deers are shaky, scattered. They ain't going to come up to you and say, hey, eat me. No. They run so man would chase them and repopulate the earth. But look, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. You catch it, you can eat it. How about Leviticus chapter 11? Let's see what's changed here. Leviticus chapter 11. Leviticus chapter 11 verse 4. Nevertheless, these shall ye not eat of them that chew the cud, or of them that divide the hoof as the camel. There goes your camel burgers. Because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. And the coney, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. And the har, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean to you. And the swine, that though he divided the hoof, and be not cloven hoof, yet he cheweth not the cud, he is unclean to you. And their flesh shall ye not eat, and the carcass ye shall not touch, they are unclean to you. These shall ye eat of all that are in the waters, whatsoever hath fins and scales in the waters and the seas and the rivers, them shall ye eat. And all them that have not fins and scales in the sea and in the rivers, of all that move in the waters, and of all any living thing which is in the is in the waters, they shall be an abomination to you. No pork, no sausage, no bacon, no catfish. There goes your fish fries, guys. See what's going on here? These guys had a dire charge. Clean, unclean. Clean, unclean. Adam, trees, meat. Noah, catch it, eat it. Israel, clean, unclean. What's going on? What about the dispensation of grace? Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. This is Apostle Paul writing to the body of Christ in the dispensation of grace. He says this. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. Every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused. Now, let's clarify something here. If I go out and eat 13 hamburgers, chances are I'm going to get sick. Could harden my arteries. You do all things in moderation, okay? But you give it with thanksgiving. Now let me ask you something. Did God change? If God's the same yesterday, today, and forever, but he gave Adam a vegetarian, Noah anything, catch it and eat it, Israel clean and unclean, the body of Christ, all creatures are good. Did God change? He did not change. Man has changed. Okay? Man has changed. God's standard of perfection is still there. He did not lower it for you and I at all. He did not lower the bar. Now, many of you know I do, well, attempt to do, or CrossFit. And we have coaches out there who will coach us the right way. And there's sometimes I grab that bar to do a pull-up, and it's just right here, and I'm dropping. And sometimes I count it. But that coach is right there saying, no rep. And you got to get it, and you got to get that chin above that bar. Okay? Push-ups, chest to the ground and back up. No shortcomings. It's hard. There's a standard in just about everything we do. And we should remember that, shouldn't we? Even in marriage, there's standards. And God bless our women out there, you know, that puts up with our shortcomings and all. But anyway, this is about God doing. He has not changed. Look what he says in Acts chapter 3. Get Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3 and Romans chapter 16. Acts chapter 3 and Romans chapter 16. Acts chapter 3. Verse 19 says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which was preached unto you. Let me ask you something. If you today believe that Acts chapter 2, verse 38, repent and be baptized for remission of sins, is the gospel that saves you today, that is not the same as the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if you believe that, he just said in Acts chapter 3, one chapter over, he says, repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come. He don't send Jesus Christ back over here to right here. So if you die today in that economy, you're dying your sins. That's scary, isn't it? Paul says in Romans chapter 5 that you have atonement now for your sins. Paul says in the first five chapters of Romans that you are justified. That's what you need today. You need to be just right with God. And the only way you're right with God, it's not Acts 2:38. It's 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, that Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose again for our sins the third day. Compare, well, Romans 3:21, sorry. And whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. God spoke these words of prophecy. That's what this is right here. This is the prophetic timeline of your Bible. This is Israel up here, Gentiles down here. God spoke that since the beginning. When he created heaven and earth, then he started speaking the prophecy program. We've got it? Look at Romans chapter 16:25. Now to him that is power to establish you according to my gospel, Paul makes this personal, my gospel, that Christ died for your sins, buried, and rose again, the good news, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. So God himself, God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, had a conference way back here. Long before the prophetic program, he had this spoken kept secret since the world began. So God had this hid in himself. You don't see it on there right now. That's a prophetic program. They did not know that. But what God did in revealing to Paul, the special apostle, and we read that, I'm an apostle of the Gentiles, he had this program right here hidden himself. This is the mystery program. So you need to compare that. Something spoken, something kept secret. But now it's made manifest if you read the next verse. What about James chapter 2? Get James chapter 2 and Romans chapter 4. You hear this all the time. James, Paul, James, Paul, James, Paul. You had Martin Luther wanted to tear the book of James out of the Bible because he didn't understand the Word of God rightly divided. And this may help some of you when you think about some things. James, the very first verse says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greetings. Now, who is James writing to? The 12 tribes scattered abroad. You're not part of the 12 tribes in the body of Christ. God's not dealing with a nation. He's dealing with a body. James chapter 2, verse 24. Ye see then how that by works or a man at works a man is justified and not by faith only. You hear that all the time, don't you? You gotta have works. You just can't have faith. They eat that up in James. But if you stay in the context of James, James is written way back over here for a time period over here, and he's telling them by works, okay? How are they justified by works over here? They still got faith. They're going to help the brothers out. When did you do that? When did you clothe? When you took your coat off and fed me, or clothed me. You fed me. You took care of me. That's what that's part about. They're going to see that in them. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 3. For what saith the Scriptures? That's very... thing you need to say, isn't it? What saith the Scriptures? Abraham believeth God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is not a reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justified the ungodly, his faith is counted for what? Righteousness. Now here Paul's saying, you don't work for it, it's debt. You've got to have faith. That's exactly what they all should have done. David had faith. Abraham had faith. Okay? It's a heart issue over here. You heard what God said when he took them out of there. He said, I bore you on eagle's wings. He wanted to do it. No, just feed us. We want kings. We want laws. Okay. You're going to fail miserably, Israel. So God himself never changes. But his dealing with man has changed, and that's the issue in dispensational Bible study. You know, just recently, just the other day, I took the dogs out, and next thing you know, Jaeger takes around the corner and starts barking as if somebody's there. So I'm walking around, and behold, there was somebody there. And he had his car jacked up with a wheel, trying to put the wheel back on. So I walked up to him and I said, how you doing? He said, I'm doing okay. Turned out he had broke down there at 1 o'clock in the morning, and he's kind of tall guy in a short little car. And he says, something happened. I just heard a scraping noise and all. I said, okay, we'll check it out. So, you know, we jacked up the other side, and his brake caliber, you have a bracket and a caliber, the bracket was gone. The bolts was gone, and just the caliber was laying there. And it was very, very weird. So, you know, your mind starts thinking, now, who sabotaged your car? Anyway, I took them to get the parts and stuff. And as my custom is, I asked them, I said, do you know where you're going to spend eternity? He says, you know, I never thought about it. I really don't know. And so what's going on in your mind next is the fact that I asked him, do you know who Jesus Christ is? Immediately he says, I used to play an organ in the church. You know, and I looked at him, I said, that won't get you to heaven. I said, that's works, okay? And that don't get you there. And he looked concerned, and I mentioned about what saith the Scriptures. That, you know, first you need to find yourself as a sinner. And I'll share this with them. I wasn't beating them up. that Christ died for your sins, buried, and rose again, plus nothing else is what saves you today. And you know, I hit that several times, and I backed off, and we worked on this vehicle a little bit. And before we left again, I said, just remember that Christ died for your sins, and he was buried and rose again. And you trust that to save you. He will save you and seal you, and you will not have to be totally separated from God Almighty ever again. Okay? Because look, every one of us is born a sinner. Every one of us. And it doesn't matter how good we are or good we think we are, that don't mean a hill of beans with God. Read Romans 1, chapter 1, 2, and 3, and he nails three types of people there. And it's every one of us in there. The righteous guy, the Jew, and the Gentile. That just God gave them up, okay? Gave them over to what they wanted. But today, what God is doing in the dispensation of grace, and the lessons that we study, and we're going to carry this through with this study of our lessons with this key in mind, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now it's made manifest. This is preaching of Jesus Christ according to the mystery right here. This is what God is doing today. You with me? He's not doing anything back over here in times past. It's very, very important you understand that. You heard me say this once. You heard me say it 100 times. People tell you, trust Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again, but you got to do what Jesus did and live like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You ever notice that? Red letters. Jesus said, listen, people over here couldn't do what Jesus said. So what makes you think you can do what Jesus said? You're not. You're going to fail miserably. It's like a treadmill. Got one upstairs. We use it sometimes, and sometimes we don't. It's not a catch-all for clothes. That's one good thing about it. And the fact is that you are not going to perform the way God wants you to perform back over here. You have a spirit inside of you. Well, the spirit's right here. The soul is right here. Once you're saved, that soul, that inner man, is thriving to be fed. Good things. Feed it. Feed it. If you're feeding it in times past, something that Israel's program, their mail, that man is just going to sit there like this. Help. Help. But you feed it what God is doing in the program today, in dispensation, that man is going to grow. He's going to discern some things, what's good and what's not good, and all that stuff. He's going to grow and be able to act like a mature man in God. So when we think about that, next lesson, we're going to, which is probably going into the second hour of the book, but actually be our third hour, we'll see some things, okay? Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again, if you listen to us on our YouTube channel, you can just subscribe it to Dispensational Bible Church. This will be uploaded shortly on our webpage, www.dispensationalbiblechurch.org. You can go there if you like what you're hearing. You can donate to the ministry. Come by and see us. Email us, text us, that type of thing. And we'd just love to see you in person. And to join this ministry here in the Cambridge area. May the Lord richly bless you in all things.